Wrestling with Martin Bester.
Sebester.
Well, well, well. How are you, sir? Nick,
sure.
I believe it's a stormy Cape Town.
I'm looking out the window now, actually, for the first time from my house, because we're working from home at the moment, just to check if there's trees still available for birds and electricity available for... Yeah, it seems to be reasonably okay, but it's been devastation down there, actually. The poorest people get hit the hardest. Yeah. Flooding, shacks down, and anyway, it's not good.
No, I know. It's been terrible to see it unfold. So sorry about that. Just to start off, I feel increasingly incredibly stupid. I only made the connection when I saw some pictures online on social media. I've known Nick for many, many years. He works for our sister station in Cape Town. Heart of him. I know him as a sharp, witty, funny guy.
Yeah. Oh, carry on.
A great lover of sport. And now, of course, the country also knows you. And how does that feel, that the country now knows you as the father of Sasha?
I've been on radio probably over 25 years. Yeah. And I had a small public profile from that. But now I'm completely sort of redundant, and I'm just known as Sasha's dad. There's no more Nick. In fact, in the office, I'm called SD for short. So, it's been a weird one. So, you know, in the old days when I used to be out with the kids and, you know, maybe in a restaurant or something, and occasionally someone would come up and want a photo or something with me. Now it's absolutely reversed. I go out with Sasha, you can hardly sit and have a meal. You know, everyone's all over him, and it's been a wild one.
Congratulations just from all of us. You must be so incredibly proud. He is such a great young player. And of course, when he had that first cap, when he played for the first time, were you watching at home?
I actually managed to get myself across to Twickenham. I mean, you know, I had to be there to see that and to witness that. Unfortunately, because the Springbok squad is only announced about four or five days before the actual game, I had to wait to know that he was in it before I booked a ticket. So I had to go on a crazy journey to get to London, paid huge money to get there as well, which was a bit of pain. Managed to get there. After the game, he jumped into the stand and gave me a hug and stuff. And it was kind of like, my whole world seemed like it was worthwhile for once.
Sasha obviously played for the Stormers, playing for the Stormers, now for the Springboks. How's he taking all of this in? Because so young, how old is he?
He turned 22 in February.
It's just...
So he's still a kid.
Yeah, so young. It's just instant fame, you know, playing for the Springboks. And being so good. I mean, that was a masterful, that was an impressive
that
start.
That penalty. Right?
Yeah, he
right?
made yeah. his entrance.
That penalty was everything.
It really was. And I mean, without getting into detail, I'm not sure he was meant to be doing that. But, you know, when I asked him about it afterwards, he said, "Dad, you know, I bang those over easily." So he took that upon himself to do. And I think it was a bit of a gamble 3 minutes into your international debut to take on a pretty big kick. But, you know, he planted it, and gamble worked. If he had missed it, Russi probably would have been pissed off with him. So, but, you know, he's full of confidence. For me, when I watch him play, he doesn't look any different on the field for the box as he did for his school or for Western Province or, you know, along the line. He takes it all in his stride, which I found quite unbelievable. You know, he hasn't got huge nerves before a big occasion or whatever. And I think because of that, he's able to do things like take on a penalty or a big kick and play his normal game.
Nick, it's Kola here. And, you know, well done, obviously, to Sasha. But you're not just known as Sasha's dad, because his brother is also doing amazing things. What's Nathan up to?
Nathan was in a show on Netflix. It was called Too Hot to Handle, and sort of made a bit of a name for himself on that. Caught himself 400,000 followers or whatever. So now he's you know, international jet-setting influencer. I mean, you know, if you check his Instagram, it all looks really kind of like, you know, this. Who is this guy? Private jets and red carpets, and he's at the Cannes Film Festival and the BAFTAs in London, and he's in LA. But actually, the truth is, you know, with all of these guys, and apart from the few at the very top, very few people make a proper living out of being an influencer. So it's kind of, for me, it's all, you know, he's loving what he's doing and, you know, he's managing to get by, but it's a very plastic existence for me. But, you know, what more could you want than your kids doing stuff that they enjoy, excelling at it and making a living? So, you know, I can't complain about that. He's having a good time.
Look at you. Who knew? That's amazing.
That is no. Context.
Yeah.
When I met Nick over the years, he's a sharp guy. He gave me a lot of nonsense.
Okay. Yeah. It's
I gave you nonsense. My word. Okay.
Turns out.
I've had my moments on air. I think I hold the record in the Western Cape for the most BCCSA complaints.
Correct.
But also never ever been convicted. So I'm quite proud of that.
Look at you.
Breaking records.
It was an accolade in a media career. That's it.
When do you know? Because I think some parents live in hope and die in despair. And others kind of, at what age do you spot, you know, a future Springbok rugby player? Can you spot that kind of talent, like under 10?
So the first thing I saw was when he was about 4 or 5 years old. He used to spin round, and then crash himself into tables and walls and things. And when his granddad was over, you know, we were living in Cape Town, and his granddad saw him for the first time doing this thing and banging into stuff. He just looked at him, and it was almost like one of those moments in a film where he named him Mbogoto.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Sasha's always loved the physical side of life and hurting himself and getting into bits of danger. But then, you know, he always had, and I encouraged it with my boys, the ball, kicking, catching, playing football in the park, whatever, all the time. And I think by the time he was about 6 or 7 years old and playing tag rugby, you could see that he had something in him. And then he also played football really well, very good footballer. He could have gone that route as well.
Oh.
By the age of 10, yeah, it was apparent that he was one of those gifted sort of sporting kids. He could pick up a ball and play anything. But then I think it was about 12 years old where the decision was made, you know, predominantly by him, that rugby was the preferred sport rather than football, and then pushed in that direction. He pushed. I never watched a minute's rugby in my first 30 years in England. So, you know, what did I know? But all the coaches and the people around him and teachers at his school all said to me, no, this boy, he's got something and he's going to. In fact, one day one of the coaches said to me, I'll bet my right liver. Whatever that means, but he'll be in a Western province shirt. He'll be in a Western province shirt by the time he's 13, and so he was. Yeah, so it was kind of, yeah, people could see it.
Were you ever good at any sport? I never asked you that.
I'm a really good pool player. I played for Western Province in the Nationals here for a few years.
Are you serious?
Yeah. When I first came to this country, I went around hustling, in fact, in Joburg as well, for money, which was a bit weird.
Did you know?
I played football all my life, but not very well. When I got to South Africa, I joined a team called FN Rangers and as a defender, and they loved me because I'm not a skillful player, but I take players out.
Yeah.
So I was a bit of a thuggish player, and people like that. And yeah, that's what I did. I played for them for about 10 years. And yeah, football's my sport.
Does Rassi, I mean, Rassi obviously plays a big role. He's the head coach. But I don't know him personally, but from just being an avid Springbok rugby lover, you can tell that his confidence in the players, it really shows. Yeah. It shows in the World Cup in Sia.
It really does. And, you know, before Sasha was ever, you know, I mean, while he was much younger, I've always been a massive fan of Rassi. I'm a bit of a fanboy. You know, and I often say, like, he's done more for this country than most of politicians or barring Madiba. He's done so much for this country. And I'll just give you one example. I think about a week or 2 weeks before Sasha was supposed to go away on a Springbok camp about 2 years ago, he was playing in a URC game, I think at Athlone Stadium, and he broke his hand. And it was his first call-up for the Springboks. He broke his hand, so he couldn't make the Springbok camp. And then a couple of days later, Rassi gave him a call personally, you know, just phoned him up and said, hey, Sash, don't worry about the hand. Let it heal. You know, let it take its time. Don't rush to get back. You're going to get your opportunity. And I think that just took Sasha out of his depression. Well, he wasn't depressed, but out of the disappointment, I should say. And that's the kind of guy Rassi is. He didn't have to call him up. And I just think he's an incredible man. And, you know, like when you watch Chasing the Sun, you know, you can see when the guy gets emotional, he's a genuine fella. And I think he's, for me, a hero of South Africa.
The other man I'm sure who would have played a huge part is John Dobson. He's been on our show and we give him a hard time whenever the Storms play. But what a man. He has this way with particularly young players. And I know he gets personal. He calls them, he visits them, he goes to their houses. Your experience of Dobbo?
Exactly what you're saying, all of the above. So he's really on it and just really personal and involved in people's lives. And the thing is with Sasha, obviously he's joined the Storms at a very young age and where he wasn't anyway, physically up for really sort of, I don't think by the time he was 20, he wasn't big enough to play at 12 or whatever. So Dobbo's been very careful with what he's done with him and blooded him in slowly. And I think he's done a fantastic job. And I've just, I mean, I don't know enough about rugby, but I've just, you know, said to myself, you've got to have faith in these guys. And so far, I mean, look what's happened with Sasha. It's kind of been a meteoric rise, hasn't it? From, you know, his first game in the URC to becoming a URC champion into the Springboks. I mean, it's been fantastic. So, yeah, Dobbo's been amazing, wonderful character, you know, lovely man to be around to have a drink with.
So the ultimate step up and the ultimate final question is then obviously, when will Sasha sign with the Bulls? 2026, 2025, when do you think?
When can he play at Loftus?
That's funny. Yeah. I mean, you know, anything can happen, as you know. And I tell you what, there's obviously been, you know, over the last maybe 5 years, we've had, there's been so many offers, people coming from the UK, from various clubs, etc. And anything can happen. But I think he's really, really happy at the Stormers. And, you know, he signed a 3-year contract about 6 months ago or 5 months ago. And I think that's where he's going to be for the immediate future.
Just really want to see you in a Bulls jersey at Loftus. Yeah, I'm like really.
This will be special.
I think it'll be special. It'll be a special day for you. Nick, most generous of you. Please send our congratulations, our support, our love to Sasha and the rest of your family. All the best with what's to come.
Thank you all for such kind words and thanks for the opportunity to have a chat. It's been really lovely. And take care. And sorry about the Bulls, mate.
What do you mean? They won the SA Shield. Yeah.
Cheers, Nick.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're with your own family. Breakfast with Martin Besser.